I was going to talk about God today, but I'm not. Changed my mind. I feel something led to talk about, and I know. I was talking to somebody Thursday night, and they seemed to not know anything. It's amazing how much information you give to people, and they don't know anything. So I thought, this being a new year, and we're just starting all over again with the new readings from the Bible back to Genesis, I thought we should go over a few things. And a lot of you have probably heard all this before, but you'll just have to bear with me because there are people who haven't. And so I think we should talk about it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he put a man in the garden. And the man was walking around with him and having a good old time, and he felt that the man was lonely. How could you be lonely with God? But he said, you need a helper. And so he created a woman to be his helper, and they became one flesh, and they were together, and they sinned because they ate a fruit that they weren't supposed to eat, and so they lost their standing with God, and God kicked them out of the perfect place he had them in. And you all know that story. It's called Adam and Eve. And so God had a plan, though. He had a plan for all of mankind because he wants us all to come back to that garden. He wants us all to live there forever with him in that Garden of Eden, in that eternity that he's created for us. And we could have all had it if Adam and Eve didn't sin, but they did. And so God had a plan. And so he started working throughout. And God's timing is a little off ours. We get mad if we're stuck at red light. Where's my patience? I don't have it. I got to get through this red light. And then you throw an Iowa driver in front of me, and I have to slow down, and I have to go real slow. Man, our patience level is like from minute to minute, but God can sit there for 2,000 years, and it doesn't bother him. You know, he could have a red light for 2,000 years. It's okay with him. And so we're going to go flash forward a little bit here. He had a plan. And he thought he would redeem mankind. Mankind got corrupt and sinned, and so he created a flood to get rid of them all. He wiped them all off the face of the earth. How many of them have come to know Jesus? None. There was just 8 of them that he saved. And through those 8, he would create all of mankind that we have today. And so we're descended from Noah, all of us. And Noah had 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And so Shem, from him came all the Semite people, the Jews and the Arabs. And from Ham came all the people like the Canaanites and people like that. And Japheth was really the Greeks or the Gentiles. And so through those people, he recreated the world. And so through Shem's descendant, he pulled out one guy later on. 10 generations later. See, God doesn't care how long the red light is. He'll wait 10 generations. And he pulled out Abraham. And he called him and he said, I want you to just leave your idol house with all your little pagan gods and go away. Stop worshiping the moon god and go to the land that I'll show you, and I'm going to make you into a great nation. And in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So Abraham just got up and went. How many of us have that kind of faith? Just go up and go. You do. Okay. Now, I don't know if I do. Maybe if I heard from God, but it'd be hard. But anyway, Abraham did that, and he had faith, and he believed in God. And through him, a son was born when he was 100 years old. How long do you wait for your son? I mean, I had 3 daughters, but they were like, when I was 20-something, 100 years old, man. I can't even imagine having a child at 100 years old, chasing them around in their diapers. But, and Sarah was 90. Wow. Wow. I mean, that's past the age. Okay, but he had a son named Isaac. And Isaac had 2 sons, Jacob and Esau. And God said that the line would go through Jacob, okay? But God has to narrow this line of people that he wants to be his. And so he went through Jacob, and Jacob ended up having 12 children. 12 sons, 13 children, right? He had a daughter, but he had 12 sons. And through these 12 sons, a nation was born. They were in Egypt because there was a famine in their land. They went to Egypt to stay, and they, after 400 years, they got put into slavery. And God said, these are the people I want. He offered his plan to all the people of the world, and everybody turned him down. But he said, you know, these people that are the descendants of these 12 children, those are the ones I want to be my priests. Because everybody needs a priest. You need someone to guide and direct you. It might be your father, your mother in your house. It might be the priest in your church or your synagogue, wherever you go. But everybody looks to someone for some guidance and direction. And so he made this nation. He took them out of Egypt. He took them out, and he took them to a place called Mount Sinai. And here's a bunch of ex-slaves. Saved by God. Why were they saved? Because he killed the firstborn of all of Egypt, but he put blood around their doorposts and lintels of their houses, and he spared their lives. So they were actually saved. They were born again. They came out of there. They went through the Red Sea and got baptized and got to Mount Sinai, and God said, I have a plan for all of mankind. I want everyone to be saved. I want everyone to come to know me. But he gave his plan in the form of a book, a scroll. It was on two tablets of stone, but it was called the Torah. It was a written book. It's actually, if we open our Bibles, it would be the first five books of our Bible. Genesis through Deuteronomy. He gave that to them. And he says, I want you to take this and be a kingdom of priests for me. Be a holy nation. I want you to go out to the rest of the world and tell them about me, because the rest of the world didn't know about him. I mean, he was an invisible god. Their gods they could see, they could worship, they had little statues they could pray to, and they had many gods. They had gods if it rained, they had another god if it snowed, they had another god if their car broke down, the cart, chariot. Yeah. They had gods for everything, but here was only one god, and nobody could see him. And the only way you could get to know him was to just believe in him. And so he gives this book to a guy named Moses, who brings it down to his people. And he tells them, God said that we're to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. We're to go out to all the world and tell them about him. And so he appoints 70 people. And he says, I want you to go out to the 70 nations that existed at that time and tell them all about me. Did they do that? Not very well. People don't listen very good. You know, I have always had that problem too. When people tell you things, you just really don't want to hear it. And if they want you to do something, well, that's even worse because you're too busy doing other things. But anyway, he takes them to a land he calls the Promised Land. And they walk over into it and they live in it, and they set up their worship system for him. They build a temple in Jerusalem. And I'm skipping ahead through generations here because we have a lot of history to go through. And they have this temple in Jerusalem in the year 1 AD, or I don't know what it was, BC, but it was at the end of BC. It was 1 BC, somewhere around there, because BC counts down, right? Around that time, first century, let's call it the first century, the people that he had selected, the Jewish people, to do this work for him, weren't doing their job. So he said, I need to give them some help. I'm going to send my son down, meaning I'm going to come down as my son, and I'm going to walk among them, and I'm going to teach them, and I'm going to redeem them, and I'm going to save them. Well, he came down at a turbulent time because the Roman Empire had taken over Israel. They had taken over the land, and these people were under the oppression of a dictator, Caesar, and they wanted freedom. And this Jesus, although his real name is Yeshua, we'll call him Yeshua, he came down, and he said, that I come to set you free from your sin. I come to set you free from yourself. And they're looking for redemption from Caesar. They want to be free of this dictatorship, so they rejected him. They rejected him. And that's really a quick way of saying all this. There's a lot more to it, but he got crucified by the Romans. Now, the Jews, of course, said to crucify him. The Romans actually did the job, but he didn't die because of the Jews. He didn't die because of the Romans. He died because of all of us. He died because of me. He died because of you. He died because of you and you and you and you. He died to take away our sins, because throughout the whole Torah, it tells you about the Passover lamb who takes away your sins. And it's only a blood atonement that takes it away. And so he became that final atonement for us. He became that sacrifice that would take away all of our sins and allow us to have eternal life if only we believed in him. If only we believed in him. Okay, well, getting back to the first century there, if you were a Gentile, not Jewish, not one of God's people that he selected at Mount Sinai, how would you get to know this God? Would you go to, like, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem? No, because there were no churches in them days. There was just synagogues. We wanted to get to know God, you would go to the temple and bring your offerings. And if you wanted to learn about him, you would go to the synagogue where they read the Torah and told you what it said. And so if you were a Gentile, you'd have to go there. You'd have to become part of the Jewish people, you know, in order to know him. We call that being part of Israel. Okay, and that went on for 100 years or more. In 70 AD, the temple got destroyed. The Romans just obliterated it. You know, the Jews were very stiff-necked, and God even says that in the Bible. You're a stiff-necked people. You're very rebellious. These are the worst kind of people that would listen to a God, because they don't listen to anybody. But so they rose up in rebellion against Rome. Here's a little bitty nation, and Rome, this mighty giant, comes pushing down on them and sieges Jerusalem and destroys the temple, knocks it all down and destroys it. And what do we do now? We don't have a temple to do sacrifices, because not all the Jews believed in Jesus at that time, only about 10%. What do we do now? Well, in the synagogues, they had these guys called rabbis. And they got together and said, well, the priests are unemployed now. Why don't we just become the bosses of the religion? And so they created a religion of doing what it says in the Bible. And they turned it into a task-based kind of religion in which if we want to worship and honor God, we have to do these things, and we have to do them the way we tell you to do them. And so what we have today in the Jewish religion is the result of that, I suppose. The result of that, and it's very hard to come to the Lord in that system, because they don't talk about Jesus. They don't believe in him. They just tell you that if you do these things, you're going to be saved for a year. And then at the end of the year, you can ask to be written in the book of life for the coming year. And then you got another year. And, you know, some of you may know how that works, because I guess in the Catholic Church, they all go to confession once a week and they confess their sins. And the priest says, do a couple Hail Marys or something, and you're free, and you can go out and sin again, right? Is that how it works, something like that? I don't know. I've never been there. But so it's kind of like the same system, although you get more instant relief than waiting a whole year. All right, but so the Jewish people wait a year to get free of their sins. Wow. Some of us believed in Jesus, in Yeshua, and we found out that you don't have to do all that, that you can have this every year. You could have this eternally, once. You only do it once. You ask for him to come to you and save you and take away your sin, and then you're his forever. That's awesome. That's what we got here. Hey, amen, amen. That's good, and it's great to have that, but many people don't have that. All right, so they're worshiping all together in the synagogue for the first 100 years. The year 90, the Jewish people who got in charge, the rabbis, said, gee, we're getting a lot of those Gentiles in here. We need to get rid of some. They're just overfilling the pews. Got too many of them. And, you know, we need to get rid of some. So they kicked them out of the synagogue. Well, where do they go now? Well, they started worshiping together in homes and fellowshipping. And eventually that led to the creation of buildings that were just for Gentiles. And so the separation process began in the year 100. Now the Romans are in charge of this empire, this mighty empire, and they see all this. And they say, all these people, Jews and Gentiles, they're all Jews. They're all doing the same thing to the same God. So we're going to persecute all of them equally. We don't care what they believe. And we're going to tax them equally. So if you were Jewish or you worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you had to pay a fiscus Judaeus, a tax, to the Roman government. And they persecuted you. You were a second-class citizen. You weren't allowed this or that in the empire. Well, eventually, the Gentiles got tired of that. And I'm really summarizing here. So in the year 325 A.D., this is 300 years later. I just skipped 300 years. They appealed to Emperor Constantine and asked him if they could become the state-sanctioned religion of Rome. Rome was a pagan government. And they said, we cut off all ties to the Jewish people. We will worship on Sundays. We will celebrate December 25th as the birthday of Jesus because that's your feast of Saturnalia. We will recognize the goddess Ishtar and create a holiday called Easter where we have the resurrection of Jesus. Now, the Jews already had these holidays. They're in the Bible. But they decided that they were going to start all this and cut themselves off from their root. Now, how many of you have ever bought a Christmas tree? You get it home, you throw it in a bucket of water. Doesn't have roots, does it? But then you put nice stuff on it, right? Baubles and beads and things and garlands and whatever. And it looks pretty and frilly. But it's cut off from its roots, so what's going to happen to it? Come December 29th or 30th or 31st or January 3rd, you've got this problem. You've got to get this out to the garbage because it is dead. So when you cut yourself off from your root, what happens to you as a person? You die. Eventually, you're going to die. And for a while, you might look good, but eventually, you're going to die. And so in 325 AD, they started all this anti-Jewish stuff. Well, gee, we're with Rome. We've compromised with a pagan government. We brought in pagan elements to our worship. We're going to go out there and we're going to persecute those Jews wherever we see them. And so for the next 2,000 years, the church has been persecuting the Jews. And why did they do that? Because who's the enemy of Satan? The Jewish people. Why? Because when people see them, they see God. Because they're doing the things that God told them to do. So Satan puts his best ammunition against the Jewish people. And guess what he uses? He uses the church. The church goes there throughout the years. And I'm just going to give you the highlights. In the year 1000, the year 1100, they have the Crusades. And what do? They kill a bunch of Jews. In 1492, the Spanish Inquisition, Columbus and his Jewish crew set sail for America and discover America while the Spanish are burning Jewish people at the stake in the Spanish Inquisition. Martin Luther, who loved the Jews, but when they read his stuff, decided not to convert to Protestantism. He got disillusioned and got angry with them and became mad at them and cursed them. And his what he wrote down became the basis for what Germany used later on. And so throughout the centuries, Jews were being killed, murdered, massacred. The Chmielnicki massacre in Poland, the Cossacks rode into Poland, killed 250,000 Jews into the area of the planet where I was, where my family came from. In 1932, Hitler came to power in Germany, and he took over, and he started persecuting the Jews. He blamed them for doing everything. They started the war. They were the communists. They were the bad guys. Meanwhile, the communists in Russia were killing Jews too. Stalin killed almost 11 million people. A lot of them were Jews. Also, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. 33 of my family died in the Holocaust. I know. I've researched, I've got 33 names. There's more coming because they ain't got all the lists posted yet. But anyway, the world hates the Jews. Why does the world hate the Jews? Well, they say he killed Christ. Well, they didn't kill Christ. They didn't have the power to kill anybody. Rome was in charge. They killed Christ. Does anybody blame the Romans for killing Christ? No, there ain't no Romans around anymore. Just Italian people. I love their food. So I would never blame them for, you know. No, it wasn't them either that killed Christ. God killed Christ because that was his plan. So if you're going to blame the Jews for killing Christ, you should say, yay! They did what God wanted them to do because that was God's plan to save the world, to save you and you and you. You should thank the Jews for that if you're going to blame them. But they didn't do it. Jews own all the banks. People say the Jews own all the banks. They control the world monetary system. Last time I checked, the bank was run by a guy named Fitzgerald in this town. He's not Jewish. Catholics run the banks. Hate to tell you this. Jews do not run the banks. We hate the Jews because they look different. Well, you hate black people because they're black? Do you hate green people because they're green? Or red people because they're red? Do I look any different than you? Yeah, I got broken nose. All Jews have broken noses, I guess. I don't know. We hate the Jews because they're rich? Yeah, the Jews believe in education. The Jews believe in educating their young, and so they spend their whole life teaching their children. They get enrolled in good schools. They took over Harvard University, and yet they had to make quotas to allow Gentiles to come to Harvard because there were too many Jews there. But that's because they study and they believe in the important things in life, and so they can get good education so they can become smart. And one out of every five doctors is Jewish. You know, half the dentists in the world are Jewish. I mean, most of the comedians in the world are Jewish. And you know, everybody you see on the arts and entertainment are Jewish, you know. Sandy Koufax was the greatest pitcher that ever pitched baseball. He was Jewish. Kerry Strug was the hero of the 1996 Atlanta Olympics for the American team because she was the little girl with the broken foot who pole vaulted to a gold medal for the USA. She was Jewish. Well, she still is. Mark Spitz, Jewish. Jesus Christ, Jewish. These are Jews, you know, and yeah, they've taken over the arts and the entertainment and the education system a lot because they have the desire to learn and to be smart. You have a cell phone? Who has a cell phone? You hate Jews? Throw it away. They invented it. You have voicemail? Throw it away. Jews invented it. How about your Pentium chip for your Intel? Intel was a company started in Tel Aviv, Israel, by two Jewish guys. They sold out the business to the Americans, but they invented the Pentium chip. You have polio? No, you don't have polio. Why? Because a Jewish doctor invented the Salk vaccine to save you. And if that wasn't enough, another Jewish doctor, Sabin, invented it. Diabetes, insulin, Jewish. It's all Jewish. Half the stuff you have in this world is invented by Jews, and they're still inventing it. It's amazing what's coming out of Israel. Yeah. But the world hates the Jews. Why? Because they are God's chosen people. And when they do things like wear these silly things, some of people think these are silly. You know what? It says in the book of Numbers that I'm supposed to wear this. It's not silly. It's God said to do this. God said to do this, to wear this. In Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41, to put corners on your garments of string so that you'll remember all the commandments that he gave you. God said to do this. It's not Jewish. When we have a holiday like Passover, we just finished what? The Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot? It's not a Jewish holiday. Those are in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Those are God's holidays. God says, these are my appointed times. You're supposed to observe them. How many people observe them? Man, we've got caught up in a whole bunch of crap in the last 2,000 years, and we've sucked it all in. 2,000 years of tradition from two false systems, I'll say. The rabbis created something that shouldn't exist. Yeah, I'll give them that. And then also, these church people, who are they? Who are they? A bunch of Gentiles who were trying to get away from their Jewish roots, so they hung out with a bunch of pagans and started this new system. How many groups do they have now, John? 37? There's 38,000 groups out there. And he always talks about the grand buffet. If you don't like what they're doing on this side of the street, go over to the other one and take your pick. You can worship Jesus however you want. But when you worship Jesus in that system, you're worshiping a false god. You're doing an idolatry. If you go to a Catholic church, they got statues everywhere. Last time I checked, that was idolatry. You go to a synagogue, there's no Yeshua there. That's not right either. Yeshua is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says in John 14, 6. And so we need to follow him. We need to embody him. We need to put him into our hearts, our minds, our souls, and all of our very being, and live him every day. You sang about the light. We talked about the light on Thursday. The light is Yeshua. I am the light of the world. We need to beam it out to everybody in the world. And so we're a little different. And because we do that, we're weird. Because we don't conform to the world standards. We don't do those things. Yeah, I like football just like the rest of you. I'm a Jets fan. And they're good this year. But my number one worship is to Yeshua. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And I'm going to put him above everything else in this world. I'm going to put him above my wife, my children, my family, my everything, even the Jets. Although they're pretty high on the list. No. I love Yeshua, and I'm going to follow him till I die because I already died for him. He died for me, and I died to him. And now he lives in me. And now I want you to have that too. So next time someone says, I hate the Jews, you know they hate God. Because they're just doing what God told them to do. And if the world resents that, that's tough. Because there's going to come a time, it says in his Bible, at the end of the book there, he says, I'm coming back. And I'm going to make my enemies a footstool. And whoa, if you're an enemy. And it seems like the world is ganging up on poor little Israel. Israel, a country the size of the state of New Jersey, who had invented the cell phone and voicemail and Intel chips. We don't need them. No, we don't need. How many Arabs you know have cell phones? Probably millions. I mean, and voicemail, and they probably live by those things. Man, if the Jews weren't around to invent that, what would they be doing now? Still sending carrier pigeons from Rome to Dallas? I don't know. But it's the next time the world is coming to an end eventually. You know, you could see the birth pangs of the end times coming. And I pray and I'm sad and I cry for all of those people who are living out there who don't even know what's happening. I mean, that guy I talked to on Thursday didn't even have a clue about any of this stuff I just told him. And he said, "You're kidding me. Did that really happen?" I said, "Yeah. Why do you think we're worshiping here in this place the way we do on Saturday mornings when we could be home watching cartoons? We could be home watching cartoons. Why do we have to come out here and meet God? Because this is God's day. This is the day he created in Leviticus 23 for him to meet with us. He wrote it in his planning calendar, Saturday, meet with my believers. He doesn't go to the synagogues because they're not there. They're not calling out for him. He doesn't go to the churches because they're not open till Sunday. What does God do on Saturday mornings? Does he watch cartoons? No, he comes here. He's here with us today. He's in this room. Amen. And you honor him. Amen. Thank you.